Taking a look now at hiking, you know, one of the things that my family enjoys is a good hike. And we've hiked around lots of places, some near Madison where we live, but some in other parts of the state as well. And I tell you what, I didn't realize how many potential hikes I missed until I took a look at Kevin Revelinsky's book, 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles of Madison. It's a great book, and I hope you'll have a chance to take a look at it. And we'll talk with him about hiking, talking with him about his book. And certainly you may have some questions about where to go and what to do, or maybe you've got a favorite hike of your own that you'd like to talk about. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. Give us a call. You can email us, too, at talk@WPR.org. And Kevin Revelinsky, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you with me. You know, one of your previous books was the Best in Tent Camping.
That's right.
Yeah, Wisconsin. You're co-authored that. Where'd you get develop your love for the outdoors?
Well, actually, I credit this book. I dedicate it to my father. He took us fishing a lot, and yeah, we'd go out hiking into the woods looking for, you know, where his next hunting spot would be in the fall. So I think that certainly contributed. And plus, I grew up in a great little neighborhood in Marshfield, Wisconsin, where there were a lot of big trees and a lot of open green spaces. And, you know, instead of just being glued to a television, I had a lot more opportunity to be out there in the greenery, so to speak.
And, you know, you've got 60 hikes within 60 miles. How do you see the interest in hiking and getting in the outdoors? Are there more people interested in doing it, or are you writing this book to sort of encourage people to get out there and do it?
A little bit of both. I think in Wisconsin, we're lucky that a lot of people have understood the importance of our natural environment and how it contributes to our, you know, quality of life. And you see a lot more prairie restoration out there. They've recovered a lot of trout streams, and I think people are taking advantage of that as a sort of, you know, recreational activity. And especially now with the price of gas going through the roof, it's a lot cheaper to get a little exercise and stay a little closer to home.
Jim Packard was telling me about a statement that John Muir had that I believe it was, "I only went out for a walk and finally concluded to stay out till sundown. For going out, I found I was really going in."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great quote, I think.
Is that how you see it, too?
Definitely. There's something so healthy about being out there, healthy for the mind, I mean, you know, besides the obvious health benefits of walking. It's just, and sometimes I put it off. I don't go out as often as I'd like to, and it's a bit like, I think, putting off a workout. You feel guilty for skipping it, and then when you actually get it done, you feel great. And getting out there and hiking, it just clears up the mind, I think.
Well, in terms of these, how did you decide on 60 hikes and 60 miles?
Well, this is a series actually from Menasha Ridge Press, and they had suggested I be the author for 60 Hikes Milwaukee. That was their original idea. It was a big city, metropolitan mm-hmm. area, they thought it would go over well. But then they reconsidered when they saw that my home address was Madison. I said, well, it is a smaller place, but they just felt that this might be a really good market for the outdoors. I mean, there are a lot of people here that that really like the outdoors. We have a lot of nice parks. Nothing against Milwaukee. I'm sure that book is on its way as well. So.
Well, in terms of the hikes themselves, why don't you describe what you've got in the book? You've got a lot of good information in here.
Yeah, well, the 60 hikes are spread out geographically around Madison. I didn't mm-hmm. want to overload one corner or another, which would have been easy to do with Sauk County. There's so much hiking up there. I could have done a book just on that alone. But each of the hikes has all the necessary information you'd need to plan your hike. You know, how long is the hike? What's the configuration? Mm-hmm. Difficult, easy, what kind of terrain, what kind of exposure, and directions on getting there from, Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And, where you could find, the facilities and that sort of thing. It also has maps, GPS coordinates for the trailhead, and then an in-depth description of the hike itself, you know, step by step, essentially. Like, here's a bench. Don't worry. When you get to the top, there's a bench. So, and that's, you know, helpful.
And you've hiked these.
I have, yeah. Yeah, every one of them. And more, because there were a couple I thought, well, you know, weren't as good as the others. And so I hiked, you know, several of them that didn't make the cut, so to speak.
And the man's in pretty good shape, too, I can tell you from looking at him. He's you know that he's done a lot of hiking, that's for sure.
You're flattering me. But, you know, I have to say I picked this after I did the Wisconsin Beer Guide, because I gained 15 pounds there and I walked him off last summer. All good.
Oh, man. Well, let's see. Let's take a hike or two. How about Lake Mendota? You take a stroll along Lake Mendota, Madison. What do you suggest?
Well, the obvious choice is, of course, the Lakeshore Path there, the one that goes out to Picnic Point. And you know, putting that in the book, I have to realize that a lot of locals know about that one already, but people coming into town do not, or people from surrounding communities probably don't think of it much. But there's also others like Cherokee Marsh and, Governor Nelson State Park. And so a lot of good lake access there.
Absolutely. You may have a question for Kevin, too, as we move along here today, maybe about hiking, maybe about maybe you've got some favorites of your own that you want to talk about. Give us a call. The number 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Email us, too, at talk@wpr.org. We've got some history associated with many of these trails as well. And let's take a history buff here. What might a history buff enjoy in way of a hike?
Well, the urban hike downtown Madison certainly has a historical aspect to it, Mansion Hill and going around the Capitol and such. But a lot of the ones out in the woods, oddly enough, have history attached to them. Take, for example, Indian Lake County Park, St. Mary of the Oaks, an 1857 chapel that a local constructed after his family was spared during a diphtheria outbreak back in the 19th century. So, I mean, that's...
I've hiked that one.
That's a nice hike, isn't it?
It's a nice hike.
It's a bit of a climb, and then you have a wonderful view up there, too. Aztalan State Park is another great one, archaeological site there closer to Milwaukee. And, you know, you climb the Earth Pyramids there. We have pyramids in Wisconsin. It's not just Egypt.
Yeah, I like that. I like that one. So those are some that I've already hit. You know, one of the things... that probably, you know, that's come into play here since the book came out was we had some a lot of flooding and a lot of bad weather, and you know, I that may have some impact or may not on the book itself, but maybe you could comment on that.
Sure. As I hiked all these different trails, you know, I'd made note of low-lying areas, things that might get muddy or wet during a rainy period. Pretty much, if you're, all of those are exactly that right now, and then some. I don't think anybody anticipated something so big. But a few places like Parfrees Glen, which I don't include as a hike. I include it as sort of a end of hike activity on one of the Ice Age trail segments. That's completely closed. The trail's gone. The stream going through it rerouted down the path. It's really quite. Amazing, really, the power of nature. And actually, that particular segment of the Ice Age Trail, two segments of it are closed, basically, because it needs to be repaired. And I was just in contact with the Ice Age Trail Association, and they are planning an event, and you can go to their website to get involved. On August 14th through the 17th, they're going to get volunteers out there. And they'll be, I think, offering food and also camping for the people helping out. But they're going to reroute the trail a little bit through Devil's Lake State Park and hopefully get that up and running again. Actually, that's my favorite segment. It's about an 18-mile stretch from Merrimack up around over the bluffs and then back over to Parfrees Glen. It's amazing.
Yeah. What do you like the best about it? Just the views.
The views, the variety of landscape. You're going through prairies. You're going through, you know, wetlands. You're up over the bluffs. I mean, it's quite a haul. And I did it in you know, one day. I'd recommend doing that in an overnight camping thing. But, you know, it was work. I had to get it done. Yeah, I'm anxious to go back and do that one again. So I might actually head up there and help out when they do the repairs.
So that's – now let's go back to that repair business. So for people to get involved in that who have some time and want to get involved, it's August 14th through the 17th?
Yeah, that's right. And there's more information about it on their webpage, and that's iceagetrail.org.
Iceagetrail.org. And my suspicion is that you wouldn't necessarily have to be there for all 3 days.
No, I'm sure that they're looking 40. For anyone who can help out at any – you know. Any amount of time. And, you know, honestly, all the Ice Age Trail, that's most of it was constructed by volunteers. It's a pretty amazing project, actually.
Yeah, and something certainly that would be well worth our time to take a look at that and to work on that. And again, it's the trail itself, that portion of the trail is located
within the park, actually.
Within the park
just,
itself.
Heading north from South Shore Drive there, under the lake there. And that's on the East Bluff, before the East Bluff.
Okay. So, Kevin Revelinsky, our guest today, Madison author, hiking expert. His latest book is 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles of Madison, published by Menasha Ridge Press. It's the latest in a series of 60 Hikes, 60 Miles from the American Hiking Society, and visiting with him about that today. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking hiking now. It's a backstage pass to outdoor adventure, as I believe it may say that on the cover of the book. I'm not sure. It's 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles of Madison. Our guest, Kevin Revelinsky, a Madison author, hiking expert, and this is his latest book, 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles of Madison. It's published by Menasha Ridge Press, and it's the latest in a series of 60 Hikes and 60 Miles from the American Hiking Society. So we're pleased to have him with us today. If you have some questions about hiking, about where to go or what to do, or maybe you've got a hike that you'd like to mention, you know, some people like to keep their hikes quiet, too, but I don't know. You may not mind. Anyway, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. And you might also give us some experiences. Those are kind of fun to hear about, too. What have you had for an experience when you were out hiking that was maybe amusing or fun or breathtaking? We'd love to hear those as well. And speaking of that, Kevin, you know, you hiked all 60 of these, plus many more. You must have had some things happen to you from time to time while you were out on the trail.
Yeah. You know, I like to say that work ruins just about anything. it was great to spend a whole summer working outdoors and getting, you know, making the outdoors my office, essentially. But there were times when it became a little bit comical because I was walking around, you know, I had my GPS device in one hand, dictaphone in the other, camera slung around my neck, maybe binoculars if I really, you know, wanted to look at scenery or had time. You know, one tree guide in one pocket, bird guide in the other. And I got a business call in the middle of the woods. Oh, God, I have to answer that. And so I'm juggling all these things into one hand and stopping in a cloud of mosquitoes, taking the call, trying to remain calm and focused. And I look down and I see there's a wood tick burying its head into my ankle. And so now I'm trying to pull a tick off at the same time. So I'm sure in the afterlife that'll make the highlight clips of most amusing things I've done.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you mentioned the cloud of mosquitoes. Are there places we can go where you can actually – I mean, this year there are so many mosquitoes. But
it's
what
bad.
About well, – yeah, are there some places where you can kind of go that might not have so many mosquitoes?
Well, my short answer would be no, but that's not exactly true. Of course, you know, this year it's worse than ever, I think. But the one hike that really just seemed mosquito-free, surprisingly, and some of them were, you know, low on mosquitoes, and it depended on when it was raining, all that
sure.
sort of thing. But Yellowstone Lake State Park, One of the park managers out there set up a lot of bat nests, if you will, bat houses. And they've got, I guess, over 4,000 bats there.
Cool.
And so, amazingly enough, that just cleans out the park. there just aren't that many mosquitoes there. They eat thousands every night, and the number must roll into the millions of mosquitoes being eaten. So that's your best bet this summer, I think. This summer will really test how much work those bats do, I think.
Let's go to Mary in Madison. Mary, hi to you.
Hello. Yes, I was wondering, along Highway 60 west of Sauk City, I know Nature Conservancy used to have some property there. Are there any trails along the river, Wisconsin River? And also, have you had any, what's your favorite encounter with a mammal or with a bird?
Okay.
Okay. Well, along the river, there's the lower section of the Wisconsin Riverway, Black Hawk Unit. And that is south of the river and west of Sauk City. And that's a really nice hike. Lots of long trails, good prairie restoration, good portions through the woods. That's a good one that's close to the river. It's not on the river per se, though. In terms of wildlife encounters, I guess the coolest one for me was in the south side of Madison. Next to the Capital City State Trail. I was hiking through a small patch of woods that were just right next to all the houses there, and there's a little pond in there, and I came up upon a fawn that was in the middle of it having a drink in the afternoon, and it didn't hear me, and I managed to get onto the park bench that's conveniently located right there, and my camera, I always have the sound turned off, so it doesn't make the clicking noise. I just sat there and shot as many photos of it as I could, and actually one of them got into the book, but it was just awesome. Oh. Sat there for 10 minutes.
Very cool. What about?
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Are you a birder type?
I actually grew up with an interest in birds. My grandmother turned me onto it when I was a kid, and I had a bird book that I hauled around and checked things off on occasion. So, yeah, I'm definitely.
Doris in Green Bay is up next. Hi, Doris. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I'm real happy to hear about this. We have three favorite trails, my husband and I, in Door County.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to tell you about the one in Whitefish Bay Park.
Oh, Whitefish Dunes.
And we had took our two grandsons a long time ago when they were little over there and walked the trail, and they saw a toad and then the old Barney. And I was so thrilled last year when this youngest boy was 20, and he said, "Grandma, we went and saw old Barney."
And you've got to explain to people what old Barney is.
That's a tower.
Yeah.
At the end of the trail, you go up the tower, and one way you see Lake Michigan, and the other, I think it's Clark Lake.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a wonderful hike.
And we had also walked down to the Clark Lake, too. So now the other one was, I think it's Newport.
Oh, yeah, that's in my camping book. That's a good place.
And so we had walked there only once, but the story that they had printed there had reminded me of later when I heard about the Christmas tree story. At first, we walked on a really nice trail that was quite wide, like a road, and then it turned smaller, but there was a cellar where you could see where the people had lived long ago, and you saw their apple orchard, and the story was that I think it was that they tried to grow potatoes, but they had to give up. There were so many rocks.
Rocks are a common farming problem, I think, in glacier the glacier deposits in Wisconsin. Have you been to the Ridges Sanctuary in Door County?
Oh, yeah. We were there, too, already.
Yeah, that's a nice hike.
I think that there was like a fence where they were trying to pile up those rocks.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave up, and I think they grew Christmas trees.
I think that's the right story that you've got there, Doris. That absolutely. But those are great hikes. They're not in your book, but those are wonderful hikes.
A little more than 60 miles, I think.
A little more than 60 miles. I should mention the Ridges will be I'll be at the Ridges Sanctuary in September. We'll be doing a hike there, a nature hike. Shelley from Wisconsin Gardner and I will be sort of leading a little bit of a hike on the on that Ridges Sanctuary. We'll be tagging along with the people who really know what they're doing, and then we'll be doing kind of a garden talk type little show up there at the Ridges in about middle of September. So we're looking forward to that too. Thank you, Doris. Thanks very much for calling. You can join in too at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. Give us a call as we talk hiking here in Wisconsin with our guest, Kevin Revelinsky, who's published the book 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles of Madison. And it's in a series of 60 miles, 60 hikes, 60 miles from the American Hiking Society. Tell us a little about the American Hiking Society, by the way.
Well, it's an association that promotes hiking. I don't know what more I could tell you, I guess, about that. And obviously, they promote this book.
But
that's about the extent of my relationship with that.
When you go out hiking yourself, or if you're recommending to other people in terms of what to do, what to take, essentials for hiking, what are, let's say, 10 essentials for hiking?
Well, we've got that in the book. It's the standard warnings for what you need to have in order to be prepared for the trail, and it's pretty comprehensive. Having a first aid kit and that sort of thing, and that's obviously not something you're going to need for an urban hike in downtown Madison. But definitely the minimum you want proper sunscreen, bug repellent, and water. Always water. And I used to be notorious for not bringing enough water with me on the trail. Especially in a hot, humid summer, it's pretty easy to get dehydrated. Proper footwear and clothing. You want to keep those ticks off. And, that's the best repellent is your clothing. So,
absolutely. We had a hike, a very short duration that had been, we had planned to have kind of a long hike. And didn't have the mosquito repellent with us. This was in July. And went a few hundred yards into the woods, and that was it. We turned right around and went right back out again because the mosquitoes were there in force. So you better have that repellent.
Yeah, I try to avoid using it because I don't want to use DEET, and sometimes I have an alternative to that. But there was one last year, actually, when I did the Blackhawk unit of the Lower Wisconsin Riverway. It was unbelievable. Don't open your mouth. Squint, because otherwise they'll fly into your eyes. It was just crazy. It was right after a big, heavy rain, and the mosquitoes were just out of control.
Let's go to Linda in Dousman next. Hi, Linda.
Hello. I'd like to say that I've walked the Ice Age Trail from Montez South, not all at once. When you're a mom, you have to get home for dinner.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can walk your dog off lead on the Ice Age Trail. If he's that kind of a dog,
mm-hmm.
and see lots of birds and mushrooms. And I'd like to point out that at Lappin Peak, there's a very nice section of trail for handicapped people. It's got asphalt,
mm-hmm.
and you can take your walker or your wheelchair on it, and your dog on a leash, and that's a very nice thing to do.
Yeah, I actually included that the segment of the Lappin Trail. And also 9 segments of the Ice Age Trail are within my 60-mile radius. So
yeah, I don't see how you
ones.
Could leave them out.
Yeah, those are good ones.
They're beautiful. Thanks,
definitely.
Linda.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. Let's talk a little bit more. Which hikes are wheelchair accessible? Linda mentioned one, but...
Well, You know, I had a question about that when I was doing the book last summer. I thought, well, you know, I've never been in a wheelchair. I really don't know what that means. I know that you've got your ADA rules about things. But I, you know, asked a friend of mine who uses a wheelchair, and it's not just, you know, it doesn't have to be asphalt paved, just something that wheels can get along on. So I included a few extra beyond the obvious asphalt paths. But like Picnic Point, the Lakeshore Path here in Madison.
Good wide path.
That's a good one. Capital City Trail that goes, mm-hmm. you know, kind of along, you know, it's kind of a hiking belt line of Madison, mm-hmm. let's say. And that's all paved. And the Badger State Trail. You know, that's the crushed limestone, but it's hard enough surface and level enough that I think it'd be really good for that sort of thing. And it's got that 1,200-foot Stuart Tunnel, which is kind of, I would argue, the high point of that trail. It's a good, you get in there and you really don't see either end of it. So you do have to pack a flashlight unless you're daring.
And it's nice and cool in there.
It is. It is. And the occasional drip from above. So, and a funny effect of the sound in that tunnel, the pigeons on the other side, if you don't know that they're pigeons, I think some people get a little freaked out. It sounds haunted and just something, the distortion of the tunnel just makes these pigeons sound like something out of a horror flick. So
that's pretty cool. Let's go to Dorothy in Black Creek. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. What I was wondering was, what kind of shoe or boot and sole is best for hiking on slippery mud?
Slippery mud.
Yeah. There's not much that works on slippery mud, but
I think just in general, and slippery mud included, having a good hiking boot with good traction is important, but also waterproof. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, some of these urban hiking boots that are just kind of stylish, you get out there just in the morning dew and your feet are soaked. Well, there's nothing pleasant about going another 6 miles with wet feet. So I definitely recommend something that breathes, you know, something with good leather, and waterproof them if they're not already.
Is there anything better than Vibram soles, which do tend to be slippery?
Boy, I couldn't, you know, not being a shoe expert on that one, I don't really know.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, let's take another issue. We mentioned birds just a little bit, and I've mentioned this on my show in the past. But last year, when we were hiking and we had one hike in Door County, we actually came on a family of pileated woodpeckers,
wow.
or pileated, if you want to call them that. I call them pileated. But there were four, a mom and dad and the two kids. And especially the two kids, we were able to get lots of photos. And it was great.
That's remarkable. That's a nice little discovery you made there.
That's a great discovery. But did you have some favorite hikes for bird watching?
You know, well, obviously you can find birds anywhere, and if you're looking, you'll be surprised at some of the places. But some of the obvious choices are like Horicon Marsh. There's two trails up there that are in the book, the State Park and the National. Cherokee Marsh here in Madison, the two sections of that, fantastic. New Glarus Woods is nice.
No, I haven't done that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I've guess they've seen scarlet tanagers out there, and I haven't, you know, personally seen them, but it's a nice place to look. The Arboretum in town is, you know, just, you know, we're so lucky to have that. I just can't say enough nice things about it. Just a few weeks ago, I saw a sora just underneath the boardwalk at the edge, you know, near the entrance of the park, off of Wingra there. I had never seen one before and told other people who hadn't seen one before and couldn't believe that it was right there. And
right
I came
Madison.
Back and saw it again. I mean, apparently this is its neighborhood. Must have nested nearby. Another thing to check out are the woodcocks in Token Creek. They do their mating dance in the spring at the end of winter there. So
another good place to go. Scott in Chippewa Falls has a comment or question. Hi, Scott.
Hello. I just wanted to offer, years ago I went out and hiked on the Nepali coast in Kauai, and that's real slippery volcanic mud. And I had talked to a bunch of the hikers, and nobody seemed to have the answer until I talked to some locals, and they have something called a tabi. A tabi is almost like, it's a stocking with about an inch of felt on the bottom. And that's a perfect footwear if you're really in slimy, icky mud because you've got the traction. Contrary to our guest's appropriate advice about trying to keep it totally waterproof, these people would come with, you know, high-end $300 mountain boots, and once you got it wet, once you got some of that volcanic mud in between your socks and your feet, you were sandpapering your shoes away. So it's called a tabi. It's a felt bottom stocking, and it's quite efficacious for real slimy walking.
Is that like T-O-B-Y or T-O...
Tabi. I think it's actually T-A-U-B-E.
Oh, T-A-U-B-E. Okay. All right, well, that would be one we could do a search on that one online and find. T-A-U-B-E.
Well, I'm a horrible speller, but Tabi.
All right.
They sell them, the natives in Kauai buy them all over the place. They use them like we use a river shoe.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate
your call.
You're welcome. Tabi, I'll try and look that one up. Roseanne and Madison, it's your turn next. Hi, Roseanne.
Well, hello. I've got advice on shoes, too. I had done an Amazon rainforest trip, and there was a guy there who had done it several times, and he was wearing softball shoes because the cleats would catch the mud and not slide around.
Now, are those the metal cleats or the...
No, the plastic ones with the plastic nobbins on them, on the bottom.
Interesting.
And so that's what he used.
All right. And they seemed to work pretty well.
Yeah, he was doing just fine. The rest of us were just sliding all around.
Well, the only danger there is if you do have some boardwalks, then to get on, that could be a little tricky, I think.
Yeah.
But makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call very much. And let's see. I've covered quite a few things here. What about some, let's talk geology for a minute, because we haven't talked too much about that.
Mm-hmm.
There are some really interesting hikes that you have that are also, if you take in the geology of the area, are really important and really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Devil's Lake always springs to mind. That's like I think it's the all-star hike. I don't know. But the bluffs there are 1.6 billion years old. I believe they're the oldest or one of the oldest outcrops in North America. That, to me, you know, that's something I took for granted. You climb it, you get the view, you go home. But I never, I guess, really appreciated how old the rock was that I was standing on. And you get to, when you climb up there, you get to see a lot of the formations from, you know, the ice age, you know, some of the potholes, for example. And, you know, that's one of the obvious ones. And then it's actually got moraines on either side of the lake. So the lake was formed really by the glacier. And if you don't have the glaciers, you don't have the lakes, which is why the driftless area, the southwest corner of Wisconsin, is just rivers and valleys. And the lakes that you find there have been, you know, created by us.
Well, of all of the 60 that you have, this is probably a question you get pretty often, but what's your favorite hike out of the 60 hikes that you have in your book?
Well, I have to plug the one that's partly closed, Devil's Lake segment of the Ice Age Trail. The Ice Age Trail in general I like. You know, that 18-mile segment from Merrimack, you take the ferry over and park there and at the trailhead and you know, march all the way around that lake. It's incredible. It's just the views, the wildlife you see along the way, and you don't, until you get to the state park, you really don't have other people on the trail.
Yeah.
And that's true for a lot of the Ice Age trail segments. It's fantastic. They're not overdeveloped. They're sustainable trails. They haven't been, you know, laid out with asphalt, generally speaking, and the stuff you see.
This is beautiful.
I love it.
Kevin, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. And I will look forward to another visit. I'm sure you're going to have more books coming out, too, as we move along here. Kevin Revelinsky, our guest today, and the title of his book, 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles. Go to his website. What's your website?
It's themadtraveleronline.com.
The Mad Traveler, or is it Mad Traveler?
The
Mad Traveler Online.com.
It's a long one, I know.
It's a long one. All right. Kevin Revelinsky, our guest today. Thanks to him for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Tomorrow, the Vicars of Vegetables will be on. We'll get chopped and diced and fricasseed in a listener roast here with them. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.